Watch the brand new documentary, Gamertag Radio, A Podcast Story, now for free on YouTube. Go to story.gamertagradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 752. This is your host Danny, and joining me this week, we have the whole crew here on this episode. Let's start with Paris because, you know, Paris wasn't on the last episode. What's up, Paris?
Hey, good evening. I hope everyone's doing well. How are you?
Yeah. Good, man. Good. You seem very, very happy right now, man.
Yeah,
look,
I'm good.
Paris is smiling and everything.
I'm good. You want me to be angry? I don't know. I'm good.
No, it's. I'm just saying that you're happy. You know, you got your Xbox One X. You know, you're good.
Yeah.
You're good, man.
Well, I'll talk about the Xbox One X a little later in the show. But yes, I have an Xbox One X, and it is being used.
Cool. Yeah, I played a couple times here and there, and I'll see Vicious 696 is online. I was like, oh, okay. I'm watching you, man. I'm watching you. And also joining us, we got Pete. Pete, what's up, man?
Doing all right. Here, just doing my thing. Starting to finally unload all the League of Legends stuff that you and I and Dimitri worked on, you know, this past weekend on South Beach. Finally got my body temperature back down to normal as opposed to that 90 degree sunset, you know.
Oh, man.
Sun. How's your head, by the way, Danny? Because I know Saturday, after walking on the beach, you were complaining that your head was all red and you had a headache. Yeah,
I was hurting, man. I had the biggest headache because we walked for a couple minutes there, man. A lot of blocks.
Oh, yeah.
Get to like a bar and we wanted to go. Pete was like, nah, I want to go by the ocean.
Yeah, it's good. Wet Willies.
Let's just walk around there. We went to Wet Willies and it took us forever to get there, man. Oh, my God. That was crazy. But it was fun. I think the event was fun overall.
Absolutely.
Very, very fun. And shout out to your son, too, man, because he was part of a Q&A during the winner's press conference.
Yep.
And he asked a question to one of the pro players and went viral. Like, it went to, like, front page. Was it front page of Reddit?
He became Reddit famous, in essence. He asked a question of Poe Belter, who was actually voted as the finals MVP. And asked him if now that he's established himself as, you know, as one of the best players in the world, you know, what are his thoughts in comparison to other players, such as, you know, Bjergsen and stuff like that. And the guy's response was, well, those scrubs didn't even make it to the finals. So that's all I'm going to say about that. And so,
ooh,
you know, in the League of Legends community, yeah, that clip kind of got pretty popular and viral. And he sent me a message the other day. He was like, how do you guys put up with me all the time? I can't listen to my voice anymore.
That's so funny, man. But no, shout out to him, man. He did a great job, man. And also thanks to Riot Games,
yep,
for inviting us, man. You know, that was pretty cool. Really cool of them to do that, man. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com or check us out on Audio Boom. You could also follow us or subscribe or post a review. We're everywhere. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Make sure to share with your friends. Let them know about Gamertag Radio.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we have a couple of topics, but you know, I think we should start with this one because people have been asking. Everybody's very curious about Paris' opinion about the Xbox One X. Because the first time he got it, he was not impressed with the dashboard. He was impressed with the console, but not the dashboard. So, Paris, let us know, man. First of all, how was your experience and everything? And we'll go from there.
Yeah, so my response is, you know, to everyone that's been asking about how I feel about the Xbox One, it's none of your freaking business. Don't you worry about it. It's mine.
Wow, you see, no, guys? You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying?
Okay, here's... Yeah, no, all real talk on this. So, yeah, shout out to Fat Kid Deals. I got an amazing deal on it. That's why I got it. Which, by the way, they actually topped this week. They had Xbox One brand new, this Project Scorpio edition Xbox One X for $299 shipped. Crazy, just a steal of a price. But anyways, wow. So I've had it now. I guess we're going on week two. I've had the Xbox One X. And by the way, let me say this off the top. Shout out to the gaming community as a whole, because obviously I've been talking about it on Twitter or whatever. And some nameless community people, you know who you are, gifted me 2 years of Xbox Live Gold. And then on two other occasions, a year of Game Pass. So I have 2 years of Xbox Live Gold and 2 years of Game Pass now with the Xbox One X. So yeah, I was like, I'm joking with Danny and Pete. They literally trying to keep me on this Emerald. They do not want me to leave the Emerald. They're trying to make sure I stay in. So with that said, and you know, I'm just all jokes aside to this, and I know I say that all the time. I'm gonna give it a legit shot. I've been using it a lot. My son has been using it even more than I have. He's been playing with a couple of his buddies on Fortnite with it a lot. But, you know, I downloaded Halo 5. Very impressed with how that looks in 4K. I mean, it looks fantastic. Played a level or two. Kind of reminded me why I stopped playing Halo 5. I'm still not that impressed with the campaign, but that's besides the point. I mean, visually, highly impressed with it. The dashboard, which has been something that I've not been a fan of. I'm still not a fan of it. And I think shame on you, Microsoft. In 2018, I can't turn off the stupid sounds on the dashboard. That drives me insane still, but I've just powered through it and I'm getting used to it. I mean, I know it well enough now to be able to navigate and get to what I need to get to. Mm-hmm. The one thing, the byproduct of all this that I discovered is Netflix on the Xbox One X, which in turn also is on Windows 10. I didn't even realize this, has Dolby Atmos for 4K, 4K, 4K HDR and Dolby Atmos. I didn't even realize that. So I enabled it on Windows 10 because you have to use the Edge browser or you have to use the actual Netflix app. On that from the Windows 10 store, but you know, the Netflix app on Xbox One X, like I said, 4K HDR Dolby Atmos. Cause I think I watched like an episode of Altered Carbon or something like that. And I was like, wait, Dolby Atmos. Cause, the headsets, if you're watching this on Twitch, the headsets I have on right now and the headsets that, Pete has on, they're the Plantronics 800 LX, which I reviewed a little while back. They come with Dolby Atmos, the license. So you can put it on Xbox One X and Windows 10. And, yeah, the sound is phenomenal. But going back to the game standpoint of it, yeah, checked out Gears of War 4 on it. Again, that looked phenomenal. I obviously looks very similar to what I've already been playing on the PC. And Cuphead, again, same as I played on the PC. Like I said, playing like my son playing Fortnite, because he's been playing Fortnite on PlayStation 4, on the regular PlayStation 4, not the Pro. So first thing he said, he was like, oh, Dad, this looks so much better. Because it's in the enhanced version, 4K and all that on Xbox One X. This thing is whisper quiet. I'm very impressed by that, which, you know, I already knew going in that it was going to be super quiet. But comparing it to PS4 Pro, like if I'm sitting there playing Destiny for hours on end or something, this thing spin up like a freaking jet engine. Whereas this thing stays whisper quiet the entire time. So I'm very impressed with that as well. Like the fact that I have Game Pass out now, I'll say this. This is a little knock on Game Pass. Just from my point of view, I still stand by the fact that for the average person getting Game Pass, if you own an Xbox, is kind of a no-brainer to get it moving forward because you're going to get all the first-party Xbox games. But I was a little disappointed with when I went in and looked at the lineup of games that you get going back catalog on it. And again, I already owned Gears 4. I already owned Sea of Thieves. I already owned Halo 5, things like that. So that didn't matter. But like State of Decay as an example, I'll check out State of Decay now, most likely, you know, even if I don't get a review code because I have Game Pass. So, right. Again, I can see the potential of why you would want Game Pass. And I'm convinced, and Danny and I have talked about this offline, I'm convinced they're going to have a huge announcement about Game Pass at E3. It just makes sense because I think that's the future for what they're going to do is the whole subscription service, you know, gaming as a subscription. It's basically similar to Netflix. But overall, with just the hardware of the Xbox One X and the quote unquote power of the Xbox One X, I'm very impressed with it. It is about as close as you're going to get to a high end gaming PC on a console that you can have. Like I said, yeah, PS4 Pro does some things in 4K, and you know, I haven't been able to do direct comparisons like the Far Cry 5 as an example because I don't have it on Xbox, but the games look really good on it. They really do. I can definitely, you know, it's like I said, it's pushing 4K HDR. There's no issues with that. I like the fact that I have the Dolby Atmos on there compared to what I would have on PS4 Pro. I'm impressed with it. Like, obviously, I got it at a discounted rate, which felt worth it to me. I will still say, going back to when we had the interview with Albert, it is more than worth the $500 price point. It just comes back down to the gaming lineup. They really got to nail it, this E3, and just get more exclusive titles on their platform. But overall, I'm very impressed with it. Do we want to jump into the backwards compatibility announcement that they had, or did you guys have questions for me about Xbox One X? I don't know.
I do have one question. I know P also has another question too, but my question is to you, now that you have an Xbox One X, in the future, now that there's going to be more games, let me ask this. No, but I'm saying, what, like, in the future, if there's games that, let's say it's 4K on a Pro, 4K on Xbox One X, will that also change your mind? Because I know it changed your mind with the PC. You say you always get the PC version. So now, console-wise, do you keep...
I will still always default... See, that's the thing. I will still always default to the PC version for whatever games that I play. Excuse me. But if it's something that's just console and I couldn't play it on PC, then I'd be willing to give it a shot on the Xbox for sure. I have it. Why wouldn't I? I mean, you know, why wouldn't I do that? Like for example, if I had never played The Witcher 3, then I would probably play it on Xbox One X, because the enhanced version of The Witcher 3 on Xbox One X compared to PS4 Pro is the superior version. So why not? I would do that. But realistically, again, it's going to come back down to the exclusive lineup, because let's be real. Next Friday, I'm playing God of War. The only place I'm going to be able to play it is on PS4, right? So, you know, when Spider-Man comes out, playing that on PlayStation, because that's the only place I can play it. I'm already too heavily invested into Destiny to all of a sudden drop everything I'm doing and try and go to Xbox. I'm not going to do that. But Anthem is something I could see. Maybe I do it on Xbox. Division 2, maybe I try it on Xbox, because the way I look at both Anthem and even The Division, same as I look at Destiny, I'm going to play them on PC, but there's going to be people like Danny and all that aren't going to be on PC. I'm going to want to play with them. So in those scenarios, it all almost comes down to, where are my friends at that I want to play with? And obviously I've kind of abandoned my Xbox friends the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, but I'm back now. Maybe you'll take me back. I don't know. But, you know, like I said, it really just comes down to the exclusive lineups, because again, from a technical standpoint, it is the most powerful console on the planet right now. No one can question that. I don't think that's a debate. You know, just technically what they'll be able to do with, again, like we've seen with all the backwards compatibility stuff that they're doing, it's very impressive. Game Pass is something that is impressive. Obviously, we'll talk about the Mixer news later. That's impressive to me. Again, a second place Microsoft is an aggressive Microsoft. That's what we want. They're going to take risks. They're going to do things outside of the box. I'm fortunate enough that, you know, I have my high-end PC, so I can play Xbox Play Anywhere on my PC. My son can play on the Xbox if he wants. It's all freaking good, you know? So I have flexibility when it comes to that. But at the end of the day, for people that don't have that flexibility, you know, you just got to go where you think the games are. And I will still contend, after all this praising that I've done, if I had to choose today, if I could only get one, there's no getting both. You can only get one. I would still get a PlayStation over an Xbox right now, just because they have a superior exclusive lineup and they both have the same third-party games. Just bottom line. But I am impressed with Xbox One X. This is not a hating thing on Microsoft or anything, because obviously I have the option to have them. I got them all, so it doesn't matter to me. But for someone that had to choose, if they were you put a gun in my head, I'm gonna still tell you to go get PlayStation, because the best gaming exclusive gaming experiences I've had this generation have been on PlayStation. That's just not even a question.
Gotcha. Okay. And you kind of answered my question with regards to lineup, right? Because it appears that on the surface, $10 a month, or if you want to pay up, you know, ahead of time and pay the full cost or whatever, Game Pass is a great introduction to the Xbox ecosystem. My only concern personally is those months where you don't have a lot of new content, right? You don't have new games coming out. And so unless you're someone who has a disposable income to go out and buy games to cover those game gaps, right? You're either playing older stuff or you're playing the backwards compatibility stuff. And while that might be great because those might be titles that you never picked up because you didn't want to spend the money on a title you may not put in, you may not put time into, but it's a title that, well, hey, it's there, it's free, I might as well just go ahead and play it. My only concern is, like I was saying, in the case of Sony, they've got a series of games that are coming up that are going to hit hard that you can only find there. And that's, I guess that's been the knock on Xbox for the past, you know, past 18, 24 months.
Yeah.
Where is that? Give me that list of games that make me want to do this, make me want to fully embrace the Microsoft, you know, ecosystem. So yeah, aside from that, I mean, I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. I mean, it's not like you're new or whatever. It's a great machine in and of itself.
That's not even, and again, because now that I have it, oh, when that Master Chief Collection Enhanced come out, I'm all over that. Why wouldn't I be? And I guess that's the one thing that, you know, we've said this a million times already, but we just enjoy playing games. I could really care less what platform I'm playing them on. I just want fun games to play. So if it's Xbox, great. If it's PlayStation, great. Switch, ColecoVision, Vectrex, doesn't matter. Just give me great games. Yeah, Ouya, whatever. I just want great games. You know what I mean? So, you know, shout out to Albert and his team over at Xbox. They've done an amazing job with this piece of hardware. They really have. It's very impressive. Just turn off the freaking sounds of the dashboard, please. Please, that's all I ask.
I will say.
And I won't complain.
Part of that backwards compatibility lineup is that Red Dead Redemption Enhanced Edition.
Oof. Let me say that on that real quick. I've said it many times in the past, never played it. I think I played Red Dead probably a total of, I think I got through the opening tutorial of Red Dead, and that's all I've ever played. So for me, that announcement yesterday inside Xbox that Red Dead Redemption backwards compatibility is getting the 4K enhancement, it's almost like a brand new game for me. Right. Yeah. Now that I got Xbox One X, I'll go find a used copy of Red Dead Redemption. I'll play it over the summer and leading right up to Red Dead 2. I'll be all caught up with everyone else. So that's the kind of things that Microsoft is doing that I truly applaud. And I'm very happy to see that they are going back and using the resources to take these old titles and bring them basically up to spec to 2018 specs right now. You know, I may not be excited about some of those original Xbox games that they enhance, but it's just the fact that they went and did it. There are people out there that will be excited about some of those games. And I jokingly said yesterday, they wanted to get me excited. There's two games on that original Xbox, the third party games, which I have a Miss Leo for, that I want to see enhanced. And that's Pandora Tomorrow and Chaos Theory.
You hear me?
You take those original Xbox games and give them the 4K treatment. Oh, I'm all over that. I'll play those right away. And I guess since I'm running my mouth and I'll shut up after this, my Miss Leo on that is, I think we've obviously seen the news, Ghost Recon, Wildlands, Michael Ironside's come back as the voice of Sam Fisher. You know, Sam Fisher's in Ghost Recon Wildlands for a special mission that's going on right now that you can play if you own it. I think that this is just a setup. I think Phil Spencer comes out on that stage at E3 and they're going to announce Splinter Cell and they're going to announce some crazy collector's edition. And they're going to take all the old Splinter Cell games on the Xbox and they're going to give them the 4K enhancement as well. I just think it's a no brainer. Why not? To me, not that it's easy money because you got to dedicate resources to it, but that's like just the ultimate incentive to make people want to go get Splinter Cell on Xbox. Let's be real. It's going to be on PC. It's going to be on PlayStation. But if on Xbox, not only do I get the new Splinter Cell, but you're telling me all my old Splinter Cell games get enhanced too, and I get to play them there as well. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. You know? I mean, you can buy Red Dead Redemption, by the way. It's $7.91 on eBay right now.
Buy it. Buy it for me, Moneybags. Help me out.
No. Remember what happened last time Moneybags came out.
No, but it makes sense, Paris. It makes sense because why would Ubisoft and the voice actor of Splinter Cell, why would they go to Inside Xbox and do that? I think that's just a tease on what's coming for E3. And I think you're right. Now, is it possible for them also to add those games also for Game Pass?
That would be an even bigger announcement if they did that. You know, but again, that's up to Ubisoft if they want to participate in that.
Yeah, I think that would be smart if people want to start doing that, or if they want to have another choice that could pre-order the game too. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Another game they also gave a 4K enhancement to, which piqued my interest because I wouldn't mind going back and playing it because I really enjoyed it. Gears of War 2. That got 4K enhanced as well.
Yeah, you could also play the first one. That one also has 4K.
Yeah, but I'm just saying the fact that they've added Gears 2 to it as well. I'm glad to see that.
And because of that announcement, all the DLCs for that game is free.
Yep.
Portal 2. Mm-hmm. I have the list here. Let me go check right now. So which one you want me to go? The OG Xbox first or?
Yeah, just go for
the
it.
The Xbox. Yeah. All right, let's go with the OG Xbox here. The ones that got my attention. I know Pete loves this game. SSX 3, Pete. Do you see yourself playing that?
SSX is it just 3 or is it SSX? Is that the tricky one?
Just three.
Is it SSX three. Tricky?
I don't know which is that one, the tricky one. I never played the SSX games. Only the one that came out of 360. This is from the original Xbox. This is the original Xbox. So it's Jedi Empire. I'm hype about that because I love Jedi Empire. I think people slept on that game, man. The game was really, really good. Knights of the Old Republic 2, yep. Decent game. I liked it. I prefer 1, but it was a good game. But there is so many Star Wars games also going to be available for the Xbox One. Star Wars Battlefront 2, also the first Battlefront, Jedi Academy, also Jedi Starfighter. Have you guys played this Star Wars Republic Commando? Have you played that one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
Actually, I remember playing. I remember playing that on my Vita.
By the way, just to interrupt real quick, Pete, I found it for $5.98 shipped.
Damn! Woo. Go for it. Yep. I'd buy it right now if that's the case.
Yeah, I am. I'm literally buying it right now.
Yeah.
There you go.
There's other games. Force Unleashed, Portal 2, Darksiders.
Yeah, those are the 360 versions. Right. Yeah, the 360 games. Yep. That's good. Portal 2. Ooh, that's probably going to look really good.
Yeah,
that's going to be good. But I'm excited to play the original Xbox, Panzer Dragoon. Oh, my God. That game was so good for the original Xbox. Amazing. They got great reviews when it came out back in the days, too, man. So, look, man, they're releasing old games. I'm good with that, man. I love playing these old games, too, man. So, but, Gears of War 2, Portal 2, Darksiders. Do you see you guys playing that or no? Or just Red Dead?
Red Dead, I think, is going to be the monster that everybody spent a lot of time on there. Surprising game that was actually okay. I kind of dug it. Full Spectrum Warrior, another game that I really, really enjoyed a lot. Destroy All Humans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Destroy All Humans. Okay. Yeah.
Jade Empire.
Oh. But... So they only said later this month, right? There was like no official date or anything.
The original Blinks, Breakdown, Conquer, Elder Scrolls 3, Hunter, mm-hmm. The Reckoning, Jade Empire, Panzer Dragoon, Orta, and SSX 3 come out on April 17th. Then Destroy All Humans. Soon. Yeah, Destroy All Humans, Full Spectrum Warrior, Mercenaries, Playground of Destruction, MX Unleashed, Panzer Elite Action, Star Wars Battlefront, Battlefront 2. Jedi Academy, Jedi Starfighter, Knights of the Old Republic 2, and Republic Commando all come out on April 26th.
Awesome. Very excited, man. Very excited. And the good thing, too, Paris, that game, Red Dead, you can't find it on the PC, right?
No, it's never been on the PC. It was never on the PC. That's why I was saying, it was never on PC. That's why I never went back and played it like in the last few years because, you know, obviously I don't have an Xbox 360. And, yeah, I mean now's the time. I mean the 4K, why not? You know, big game's going to come out.
Was that game
caught up on the story?
Ever released on PlayStation as well? Because I know I've been reading a lot about lately. Like people, the only way you can
it was
it's been on PlayStation.
The only way people could play backward compatible was via like an emulator or something like that.
No, PlayStation. You could. It's available for PS now.
It was on PlayStation 3.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I know, Paris, you talked about Splinter Cell that's coming, and with the new Ghost Recon game, I know there's like a mission that you can play with the characters there too. But at the end of the mission, it seems like there was like a teaser, which might be a hint of the new game that's coming out maybe in the future, I guess. I mean, I don't know if this year, next year. That's the part I'm kind of like, eh-huh. But it's obvious. I think that's, I mean, I know Paris talked about that earlier, but
I think it's this year, personally. I really do.
It's next year. I think it's spring.
I think this year
is The Division.
No.
This year, The Division.
I'm going to stick with what I said. Look, you believe whatever you want to believe. It's my opinion. I think Splinter Cell this year, The Division spring next year.
Once again. The Division this year, Splinter Cell the next
year. Why? They've had plenty of... Here's my counter for that. They've had plenty of time to work on a Splinter Cell game. They just launched Division 2 or The Division 18, 19 months ago. Why would they duplicate efforts so soon after launch?
That's what I said 2 weeks ago, Danny.
Yeah. Let me tell you why.
What if?
Paris. Let me tell you why, Paris. I think it'll be better for the Splinter Cell to stand out even more if they release it during spring. If they release Splinter Cell during the holidays, I think that is not gonna get a lot of attention because there's gonna be monsters, dude. Monsters back to back coming out around the holidays, man. Why not release the game during spring? It will be more powerful for Splinter Cell, man.
And I would flip that argument to why I, for that exact reason, why The Division should come out this spring. Not only have they had since 2013 to work on Splinter Cell, whenever they probably went into development, who knows? I said this 2 weeks ago, so I'm not going to repeat it, but you're rushing it if you put out a Division 2 this year versus giving it its proper 3-year window and doing it in March 2019. I think they could get away with, depending on the window they would launch it in this holiday, they could get away with Sam Fisher coming back this year. They could be a nice summer-long marketing campaign around it, get people hyped up about it, etc. The Division has to compete this holiday with Red Dead, Call of Duty, Battlefield, Destiny 2 expansion. There's another shooter I'm forgetting right now. But my point is there's a lot of shooters coming out this holiday already. Why not push to the spring? Your only competition in the spring is going to be Anthem.
I just don't see The Division competing with the expansion of Destiny. It's different because of the whole situation that's going on with Destiny 2.
You're taking it down the road. I'm just pointing out that there's already a bunch of stuff coming out this holiday.
Let me finish.
It's Jesus Christmas. I'm just saying.
Let me finish. I don't know. We'll see at E3, Paris. We'll see at E3. I'm confident. I think The Division is coming out this year. That's it. It's a wrap. It's coming out this year.
Okay. It's your opinion. Right. Your opinion is mine. Okay. We'll see at E3. We'll know at E3 what's going to happen.
We'll find out. Also, according to GameStop, I know there was a conference call, investors call. They do it all the time. They said that there's going to be a lot of, quote unquote, big games coming to the Switch later this year. Usually, retail stores, they already know, you know, the announcement is coming and everything. Sometimes they don't, but you know, based on them, you know, talking to Nintendo and everything, it looks like it's going to be a pretty big year for the Switch. I know the other day Paris posted on Twitter, he was like, Danny Wolfenstein, check it out for the Switch. Mm-hmm. Yo, it looks freaking good. It looks good. I know it's not no 4K. It's not no PlayStation 4 or Xbox or PC. But yo, for the Switch, it looks freaking good. Do you see playing that, Paris, for the Switch?
No, because I've already played it on PC. I'll say this about Wolfenstein 2 since you actually bring that up. Had a lot of fun with the story. You know, looks beautiful, you know, playing it on PC, but I don't feel a desire to go back and play it again. So no, I wouldn't pick up the Switch version.
Now, for those that have never played the game and only have the Nintendo Switch, I think I will recommend for this for them to
yeah
to play to try
absolutely.
It out.
Why not?
Good. Same thing with Doom. Exactly. You know. So
this is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737 GTR.
What else? What else do we have? Oh, this is another topic here. This is something that I think we should definitely talk about this. So I know for a couple of days I've been hearing that Bungie invited a lot of the Destiny community to their office, to the headquarters of Bungie for some new DLC for Destiny 2. So it was called what, the Destiny 2 Community Summit.
Yes.
I don't know much who got it. I don't know much about it. I know there was a couple, you know, community members that got invited. So Paris or Pete, if you guys know much about this, please let the listeners about it.
Yeah, go for it, Pete. You're the Destiny person here, aren't you?
Okay, well,
no, tapped so out a long
here we
time
go. Here we no, go. So, here's how you fumble through the podcast.
No, so first of all, I want to give a shout out to everyone over at the Destiny Community Podcast. They had me on there last week, had a lot of fun. So, you know, Pope Bear, Miss 5000 Watts, Tefty Teft, and Briar Rabbit was on with them. And they, Pope and Miss 5000 Watts, they both got invited to the event. And Patrick Casey Holtzman, he wasn't on the episode, but he's also going from that show. So they all got invited to the community podcast. Jesus, I can't talk. Sorry. The Bungie Community Summit. And I'm excited for it because this is what Bungie needs to do. And like I said on that podcast, I would like to see it become an annual thing. And not only is it an annual thing, rotate the people that are going. Because what they've done, it's not just the top streamers and YouTube people and all that. Oh, shout out over to Mesa Sean, Mark over at Guardian Radio. They're both going to it. You know, I got to say hi to my friends. But they're all going. And I'm glad because these are the leaders of the Destiny community that are going to the summit. And it's not just the YouTubers and the streamers. They also got someone like Fuzzle, who is big over on the Destiny Reddit. As well, they've grabbed, you know, just other forum leaders, things like that, to top, you know, PvP players, top raiders, things like that, because they're trying to get a good mix of people that play the game, not only, you know, people that have the huge platforms, but other people that are just huge fans of the game. And they're bringing them up there. You know, the new DLC, the Warmind, which that roadmap just came out today from Deej. That's going to drop, looks like early May, and they're going to have the reveal on it April 24th. So these guys are going up there on April 19th and 20th up to Bellevue, Washington. There will be like a capture event, but they're also going to have an open session with feedback, you know, to the developers. They're going to show them some future content that isn't necessarily coming with this DLC that we're going to get on the next few weeks, to get feedback on it, to make sure they're going down the right path and they're doing the things that we want to see. It's already come out now. They're going to change the weapon slots now. It looks like we're going to get some version of the random rolls. They're changing up some things with the Crucible maps now, so you don't have to buy all the expansions to be able to play the Crucible maps. You know, despite what expansion or DLC they may come with, which is also a good thing to do. They're doing more sandbox changes to the exotic weapons. They're adding exotic masterwork weapons, armor. Just they're making the game. And look, we can sit here and complain all day that, oh, they're changing it to Destiny 1, and why wasn't this in launch? It is what it is at this point. You know, they're just trying to make the game enjoyable for what it was for me, that I've spent the last 4 years playing the damn thing, right? So they're trying to get it back to that point so the community can return and everyone can enjoy it. Will it work? I don't know. I really don't know. But this is a great step that they're doing this, because I feel like the community needs a seat at the table when it comes to building and improving this game, because it is a living, breathing world, right? And it's constantly changing. So let the community have a voice. You know, this is a great step to make that happen. And like I said on the DCP podcast, this is almost becoming like a symbiotic relationship where we both need each other. The community obviously needs Bungie and the developers that are making the game and making these changes, but they need us as well, because they need to know what we like and what we don't like, and to get some future thinking feedback so that they can make sure they're going down the right path for this stuff. So I'm happy to see it. Hopefully we'll see some of the stuff come, some of these announcements that I'm pretty sure they'll do the fall expansion. They'll show it off at E3. You know, I'll try and get my yearly sit down with Deej and whoever else from Bungie. We're at E3 and talk about all this stuff and see where they're headed. And yeah, I'm excited for it. So there you go. Did that answer it for you? Was that good enough? Or should Pete?
Yeah,
do?
That's good.
Pete knows more than I do.
Pete, you, what about you, Pete?
I have nothing to add to this, honestly. I have not played Destiny in 6 months. So I have nothing. Good. I have nothing other than, you know, I'm glad that they're moving forward, right? I'm glad that they're not sitting back and resting on their old laurels. To those that are saying, oh, you're bringing it back to Destiny 1, that's a good thing. Destiny 1 was a tremendous success, and hopefully the lessons learned by Bungie are going to be understood and used by other developers that are doing their own specific sequels, and hopefully we'll see if they use those lessons learned to make their secondary iterations or tertiary iterations of their games better.
Yeah, I'm just curious to see if people that don't play Destiny or they stop playing, I wonder if that is going to get their attention to go back and play the game. I think that's going to be the tricky part, because the fans are going to play, you know?
It is. That's the trick, is getting people that have walked away or have had no interest to actually come and check it out. And there's the Bungie ambulance on the way trying to save the day. by the way, just for people listening or watching this, it is like Florida humid hot here in California. So I got the windows open. Why you're hearing all that noise. But one thing I wanted to say, because it came up, people have been asking me, am I going to it? No, I'm not. I was not invited, and that's fine. I mean, it's, you know, they didn't invite people like Bife and Triple Wreck and things like that. So who am I? I'm freaking nobody. So not a surprise that I didn't get an invite to it, but I'm happy for the people that did go, because I know a lot of those people and they're all great people. They're going to give honest feedback, and that's what it's all about. You know, like I said, I'll get my opportunity to give my feedback to Bungie. You know, I know a few of those guys over there, so it's all good. And like I said, I just hope they do this as an annual thing and they just rotate who gets to go so that all of us get a chance to have our voice heard. You know, that's all.
Paris, the other day you were asking me about Borderlands, the next Borderlands game. I know we were having a conversation and you asked me, Danny, where do you think they're going to announce it? Pete, can you guess what I said to Paris? I want Pete to see where he think I, and the reason why I said that.
South by Southwest.
Where they're going to announce, like, no.
The only reason I would say where is because their office is in Austin.
That event already passed. So
exactly.
Right there, you're wrong. I said to Paris, I think we might see that. This is my Miss Cleo prediction. Miss Leo, because we got to send me to. I think we're going to see that announcement at the PlayStation 4, a PlayStation press conference during E3. And the reason why I said that to Paris was because 2K, for the past few years, this generation, they've been having a closer relationship with, and a better relationship with PlayStation. Mm. So all the games that have been coming out has always been Sony exclusive marketing deal with them. Wrestling, WWE games, NBA 2K games, everything. And so I think when they announce Borderlands, it's going to be at the PlayStation press conference. Paris, do you agree with that? Do you see that happening or no?
I think it's definitely a possibility. I mean, obviously, it wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world. I mean, I'm sure Microsoft would love to have it on their stage, but I really just think it's going to come down to who gets the marketing deal.
Yeah. I mean, third party wise, I think Microsoft, they're gonna have some good announcements there. There are gonna be some games that are gonna show it there first, of course. Mm-hmm. But I think PlayStation is gonna do good, man. They're gonna have some pretty good games, I think. You know, so I just want to say that. Anything else before we go to fan mail?
Yeah, the Mixer announcement. We didn't talk about that.
Oh yes, so. What's up with the Mixer announcement?
So came out today, Mixer, you know, which is a streaming service similar to Twitch, you know, that is owned by Microsoft and obviously heavily featured on like the Xbox platform. They announced they're partnering up with Lightstream Studio so that if you just have a console, you don't have to have a PC or laptop or basically a third party device connected, you know, to your console. From your console, you'll be able to stream to Mixer and have overlays and use webcam, all that stuff. Basically to how we stream right now using a computer right now, and we use something like OBS so we can have our overlays and do all that stuff. You'll be able to do all of that directly on your console. Like you'll go to Lightstream, obviously customize your overlays, everything. Basically, I haven't read 100% on how it gets onto the console, but I'm assuming you probably have like a URL or something, or some kind of link to it, obviously. But the point is, from your console, you will be able to have an overlay while you're playing a game on Mixer. And for me, I'm very happy to see that, because it shows you how aggressive Mixer is in this space right now. And I think they're truly becoming a competitor to what Twitch is doing. And this is just the next step. Can't do it with Twitch. You can only do it with Mixer. So this just gives more people the ability to be a streamer and to do it on, to have a more of a professional look to their stream. They're not just streaming, no camera, no one can see them. They don't have, you know, the sub buttons and all the fancy stuff that's going around with a lot of streamers have right now. You'll be able to do that now, and you can do it all on your console. Don't need a computer to be able to assist to do that. And I just think it's a great feature. Very happy to see that.
Now, as a content creator, do you see yourself getting more curious to go on Mixer and start?
I'm gonna
try.
I'm gonna do it. I'm 100% gonna do it. I'm definitely gonna do it. I've already been thinking about just to mess around. But I was already thinking about trying out Mixer. Oh, by the way, when I was talking about Xbox One X, I forgot to mention I got PUBG on Xbox One X, and I like it, but I'm still trying to get used to the controller. It's weird. The control scheme, having to go in to pull, you know, to get your gear and stuff, to change stuff around. Still got to get used to that. But I like the fact that it is definitely 100% playable on the platform. Glad to see that. But going back to the Mixer thing, yeah, this is going to enable more people to be a content creator, which I think is a great thing. And it has definitely piqued my curiosity. And I can guarantee you there are going to be some very creative people out there that will use Lightwave. And now they can just, boom, I'm on Mixer, baby. And I have a professional setup, looks great. And everyone's on my stream and they're doing their thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I think that's dope.
And I was looking at it, you know, during the day today. It's limited access right now. So unless you were in that first chunk of people who were able to sign up through Mixer and integrate, it's a staggered rollout. So they didn't just open the floodgates to everybody. Like I just tried to log in and it said access denied for now. Essentially what you're doing, it's similar to Streamlabs OBS and OBS, and another company called player.me, which is something that we, you know, that I use here for our stuff. And, you know, you're familiar with it, Paris. So basically you set all of it up on the Mixer website. You go to mixer.golightstream.com. You log in with your Microsoft credentials, you set up your overlays and everything and how everything's going to work. You create your scenes, and then basically when you go live, it has your Mixer key, which is similar to your Twitch key, which is what we use here on the show. So anytime you go live and you say go live on Mixer on your Xbox One X or Xbox One S, it creates that connection and it starts your stream from there. Yeah. So
that's dope.
Right. So
it's super easy.
So yeah. So for someone like Danny, who has zero, experience with setting up the overlays and scenes and all that, it's an excellent way to get him set up to do that. Cause I know he loves doing that, especially that kind of Café con Danny's on Wednesdays and Friday mornings when he jumps on, you know, and he's just playing. He doesn't have to fiddle with a second computer or worry about, oh, is his laptop going to like overheat because it's trying to run stuff. My only question is, how is it going to work with cameras? I think I read that now they've started allowing third-party cameras on the Xbox One.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I've already tested it. Only on Mixer.
Okay, so in that regard, it's a matter of just saying, okay, you're going to use this camera. It'll automatically position it wherever you put your overlay, if you're going to put a camera overlay or a panel or whatever, you know. And then at that point, you're good to go. So again, it's
simplifying the process to enable more people to be able to stream and basically 100%. Be content creators.
100%.
And let's remember, Mixer is going to have a huge presence at E3 this year. Like literally Microsoft has already said that in the LA Convention Center, their booth is Mixer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're going all in on it, man. Again, competition is great on all levels. Like we talk about second place, you know, Microsoft as far as on the console war right now is great because they're doing aggressive things. They're also in second place in the streaming debate. So they're doing aggressive things.
Second? Are you sure second place?
What's second then? What am I missing? We're streaming?
Dude, it's either Twitch or YouTube, one of the two.
Facebook gaming?
Is it? I don't know. Maybe you're right. I don't know.
I guess Facebook is slowly coming up.
Yeah, and Facebook's slowly coming up. I guess I put Mixer ahead of YouTube when it comes to streaming. Now, as far as doing videos and that kind of content creation, of course, but I don't know. I guess you're right. I guess you can stream on YouTube. So yeah, second or third, they're up in there somewhere. But again, they're making aggressive moves. I like the fact that Mixer also had. Hey, look, we're on Twitch talking about Mixer. But I like the fact
they're gonna ban us.
They're gonna ban us. Hold on. Let's do this right. Okay. So I also like the fact that they do the co-streaming stuff and they have the super low latency on their streams as well. So you have like pretty much real time interaction on Mixer with your audience versus on Twitch, you know, we have the delay or whatever. You know, for those that aren't watching this live, I put on a Mixer hat on our Twitch stream.
But Paris with the Mixer hat is hilarious. Yeah. But the way how he put it on, oh my god.
No, but I like the things that they're doing because you know what? It's going to force Twitch to do the same exact thing. So we all win, no matter what platform you're on.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so let's go with fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Let's do this, Pete. I know we got two voicemails.
Yep.
That we're going to be playing on the show. Yep. Play the first one.
All right. One second. You're going to play voicemail number one. Here we go.
Hey, Gamertag Radio. My name is Rico Brown from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I was calling to see what HD remakes you guys would like to see done over. My dream remakes or reboots that I think will look phenomenal on new systems would be Bloody Roar, Onimusha, and Tenchu. And I would like to know some of your guys' favorites that you would like redone, remastered, etc., etc. You guys have a great day. You guys do an amazing job on the podcast. Stay blessed.
All right. HD remakes that you would like to see in 2018.
I would love to see Jet Set Radio Future. I think a lot of people slept on that game when it came out of the original Xbox. And it has a great soundtrack. Great, great soundtrack. Beastie Boys are also in it. I think Jet Set Radio Future for me. I love Jet Grind Radio, Jet Set Radio for the original Dreamcast, but Future, up there, man. One of my favorite games that came out for the original Xbox. I would love to see a remastered version or something like that. How about you guys?
I'm going to stick with something that I mentioned earlier, and I'll take it even further back. I would love to see them, and I have a sneaky feeling this is what we're getting at E3. I would love to see them completely do a remake of Splinter Cell. The first one. The very first one that came out on the original Xbox. I would love to see them reimagine that and do it all over again. You got Michael Ironside. He's back as the voice. I would love to see that as a remake. And the irony is, some of the other games that I was like, oh, I would like to see a remake of, they've already done them. I mean, we got a remake of Halo Combat Evolved. Looks fantastic. I mean, we're sitting here talking about Red Dead already. Another one I would love to see along the Rockstar vein is to take the original Grand Theft Auto 3 and completely remake that. Do it in the GT5 engine. Why not? I would love to see that.
Vice City? Vice City is a good one, too.
This is my opinion. You like you can say yours when you want. You put
hey. But that's for me. That's for me.
You, but I wasn't done.
That's for me. Yes, you are.
No, I know. I have no, one, but more, Paris, one more. You're, no, one more. Seriously.
You're pushing Splinter Solo a lot, so that's good.
I know. I am. Hey. No, one more is the original Mass Effect. I would love to see them redo that. You know, look, take the dumpster fire that was Andromeda, even though don't throw cans and tomatoes at me. I know Andromeda, they fixed the bugs and allegedly it plays great now. I'll never know because they basically canceled whatever they were doing with that. So I'm not going to invest. Yeah. But take that Andromeda engine and make the original Mass Effect. Put it in that. I would love to see it.
All right, Pete.
All right. So for me, I have 2.5. The half is Cyberball 2072. I just loved that game for so long when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Basically robots playing football. I know it's not going to happen, so it's not even, you know, I just put it up there on my wish list. I know it's not going to happen, though. The ones that I would love to see, Kid Icarus.
That's a Nintendo game.
Wow. You're talking about a Nintendo game? Kid, what if? Let him have it.
It'll never happen, but they asked me my what if, so here we go.
Yeah.
Kid Icarus. Oh, just my imagine God.
Why are you attacking? You guys are attacking me.
Well, it's because you interrupted me. I would love to see that in an open world 3D adventure type game on the Switch, because obviously that was, you know, it was playable on the original Nintendo. The next one that I'd like to see would be Oregon Trail from back in the day. Danny, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but
yeah, I remember. That's all PC, right?
Yeah.
PC?
Give me that in a Skyrim or a Witcher 3 type action adventure RPG and I'd go nuts. Right. And then one that came up to me just as Paris was going through his list of games, Max Payne.
Yeah, I can see that one too. One that just came to my head when you just said Skyrim, take Oblivion, remake that. I would love to see that. Elder, what was that? Which one is that? Elder Scrolls? Which that? Five?
They have Oblivion out. I think they have Oblivion out for it came out for this generation.
But they remade it. They redid it.
It looks better. Whatever. Well, that's, I have it also on the Switch.
I wanted to look amazing. I'm to with Witcher 3 engine. How about that? Doing it at. I would love it.
No. Thinking of other games, man, that I would love to see.
Silent Hill.
Nah, not for me.
It's not for you, though. Don't end my choices.
Not for me.
F you.
Not for me. Honestly, I would love.
I'm interrupting you now. You notice what Danny is his opinion. Don't say nothing. What if? Let me dream. Be quiet. You have an opinion? Nah, I don't like that.
Not for me. Nah, but you know what? I would love for Sega to re-release Phantasy Star Online.
Nobody wants to play that. Yeah,
I don't care. I keep on going. But yeah, anyways, Phantasy Star Online would be great. Let's make that happen, Sega. Let's make that happen, Sega. You know what? Do you think they should bring back DJ Hero?
No.
I think that was a good game.
No. As much as I love
that Pete, shut up, Pete. You love that game.
Yeah, I know better. Yeah. Even I know
they
better.
They should bring it back.
Take all those plastic accessories and throw them in the dumpster. I'm done with that stuff.
All right. I'm thinking of other games, man. Let's see if there's any other.
Altered Beast from the Sega Genesis.
I can see that.
Give me a remake of it. A 3D background, but still be like a 2D, but still give it to me like it's a platformer, the way that game was.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be dope as hell.
That'd be really dope. All right. I think that's it.
I have one more.
Probably after
Earthworm Jim.
Good game. Part one or part two?
One. The OG. You have to play Earthworm Jim.
One is the good one.
The OG. Yeah. That would just be another one. Another one that would be that would also favor that 3D background with 2D platforming. I just think games like that just lend themselves naturally for something like that.
Oh, I got one for you. I would love to see them remake. And then I'll be quiet, Danny, before you shoot it down. Mario 64 using the Mario Odyssey engine. Would love to see that.
You know, it's funny about that. you could change Mario to the Mario 64 in the game.
Yeah.
And I picture it like it looked like the Mario 64 version.
Yeah.
Like the whole level and everything. It's good. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a really good one. All right. Second voicemail. Let's do this.
Yeah, here we go.
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Andrew from New York. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I had a quick question for you guys. Love to get your thoughts on. With Spider-Man video game now having a release date in the Avengers Infinity War movie about to drop soon, it's obviously a great time to be alive if you're a superhero fan. I myself am a huge fan of both superheroes and video games, so when they do a good video game of a superhero, it's definitely my two favorite things coming together. I know you guys are fans of superheroes yourselves to some degree. My question, if you were to have a studio make a video game on any superhero that you wanted, what superhero would you want there to be a video game of, and what studio would you want to make that video game based off their past work? Obviously, Rocksteady did an awesome job with the Batman series, but maybe you guys can come up with some interesting combinations, like maybe like BioWare doing a video game for like Guardians of the Galaxy based off their Mass Effect series, or maybe like some other samples like doing Bethesda with doing like a Punisher video game based off their work with like Doom. Anyways, interested to hear your guys' thoughts, and appreciate what you guys do. Appreciate all the content that you guys lay out and making my drive to work bearable every day. So thanks, guys. Bye.
That's a great question.
Comic book character in what studio? I think I can knock this one day. Out. I can knock this one out, at least for me. It's my choices, so I don't care if Danny likes him or not.
first I hate one, it. That's it. I'm done.
First one for me would be Rocksteady. And give me a Miracle Man game. So, and I know that these are probably going to be a little bit more obscure characters, people that a lot of people may or may not be familiar with, but because I am heavily invested in comic books, I would say that. And actually, it's Mr. Miracle, not Miracle Man. He's the son of the High Father. When he was born, he was actually traded to Darkseid. Darkseid's child was traded to the High Father in order to stop a war that would have ended the universe. His name is Scott Free. He's the greatest escape artist in the universe. And he spends his entire childhood escaping the traps left by Darkseid that were meant to kill him. So I think that would be a great game where you spend the entire game avoiding and escaping from a series of traps meant to kill you. And then the ultimate end goal would be for you to leave Apocalypse, get to the Source Wall, and finally meet your father, the High Father. The other one, I think I'd like to see Deadman, which is one of my favorite characters, done by Telltale. He's a high-flying trapeze artist known as Boston Brand, murdered during a performance, and his spirit is given a second chance to find his killer. But the only way he can do that is by jumping into or possessing the bodies of the living. So he's jumping from person to person trying to find his killer. And I think there'll be a great episodic video game. And, you know, Telltale, especially we've seen what they've done with the Batman series, The Wolf Among Us, and obviously The Walking Dead. So I think that'd be a great game.
What about you, Paris?
So I thought about this all day when I heard the voicemail. So thank you for the voicemail. And he ironically kind of went down the path I was going when he mentioned Guardians of the Galaxy made by BioWare. I wasn't thinking that extreme because I was thinking something more lighthearted. I would love to see a Rocket and Groot game made by the old Banjo-Kazooie team that made Yooka-Laylee and make it in that style where Rocket and Groot need to work together as a team to do whatever they do, put them in. I mean, you can still put them out obviously in like in a cosmic world or whatever, but it's a more lighthearted thing. It's a thing that could appeal to everyone, all, you know, kids of all ages. And it would just be something fun to play. I think, you know, it'd be even like the dream thing would be that they get Vin Diesel and Bradley Cooper to actually do the voice talent for it as well. I think it'd be a big hit, something everybody could enjoy.
Paris, do you remember back in the days? I know we talked. I think we reviewed this game together. I can't remember. It was a, I think it was a Wolverine game that originally a lot of people thought was going to be based on the movie.
Oh, dude, it was dope. That game was okay. So dope from Activision.
What was the, yes, what was the name? Was it?
Well, it was the movie tie-in. It was tie-in to X-Men Origins Wolverine movie. It was a movie tie-in game. Everyone thought it was going to be trash and was basically a God of War clone. It was freaking great.
Yo, it was so good.
Yeah.
I think they should do Logan, like a Logan game like that. Mature, blood everywhere, all that stuff, man.
They did. We just talked about it. They made it 10 years ago. Well,
no.
I like how that's exactly what it is, and he's all, no.
But I'm saying, like, I think that would be cool. Like, I'm talking about, like, I'm talking about the movie and all that stuff, man. Like, I don't know. I think that would be cool to do that. I didn't even know we were, like, the developers of the game.
Trying to figure out who was I can't remember now. I can't remember who developed that game.
But Origins was more. Was that the beginning, right? Of Wolverine, right? So how they added with Logan, him being old and everything. I don't remember seeing that, playing that.
Raven Studios made it.
Raven Studios,
2009.
So there you go. I think they should do
and
one,
it was and it was one. Literally called X-Men Origins Wolverine. That's the name of it.
Yeah.
X-Men Origins Wolverine Uncaged Edition.
And that game was so good, man.
Yeah.
A lot of people slept on it because usually when companies make a game based on a movie, is the majority of the time it's pretty crappy. And everybody was very surprised that this game was really good at that time when it came out for the 360 and also PlayStation 3. Really good.
By the way, since we're on the topic of superhero stuff, I don't think we really talked about it since it's officially been announced and everything. You excited for Spider-Man September 7th?
We talked about it.
Did we talk about it? Marcus. I can't remember. My life's a blur. Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited. I've just been seeing a lot of the Game Informer stuff since they got the exclusive coverage for it. And like they were talking about how the web slinging is going to work. That's like, it's like basically like the go button R2, whether you're on the ground or you're slinging R2, you can sling through. And they want to always keep momentum going. And they even dropped your favorite game of all time, Danny, Sunset Overdrive. They took some inspiration from that. We're always constantly moving. Like if you go into a building, you're not just going to come to a dead stop. You'll literally scale the building and you just keep going. And love it that it's the open world that they're going to have. A lot of side mission stuff that you'll be able to do. I personally, Danny, Pete, I got a feeling this is going to be one of the biggest games of this year. I really think so. Even though it's only on PlayStation, I think when we look at the sales numbers comparatively, the fact that we got 75 million PlayStations out there, I think the attach rate is going to be huge. I think a lot of people are going to pick this game up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think they also said that it's bigger than Sunset Overdrive. Like,
yeah, it
the
is.
World.
Yeah.
Way
I
bigger.
So I haven't seen anticipation for a Spider-Man game since Web of Shadows. And that was a hell of fun game from Activision. I think Treyarch did that one as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Actually, was that the one that you recorded like a short interview?
Yeah.
We posted on our YouTube channel.
It was one of our biggest videos.
That one has close to 1 million views because Pete recorded that interview.
Yeah. It was the interview over game. I just overlaid audio over the video, video B-roll footage and stuff that they gave us and stuff like that. It was just a fun, one of those silly, just one of those silly games that you get lost in. Web slinging through the city and, it was a lot of fun. So I haven't
really cool.
I think enough time has passed where it warrants, another Spider-Man game. There's so many characters though, that you can choose from for a conversation like this. But and I know I'm probably going to break the fourth wall here. But some people were talking about like the Punisher, but I think we've seen so much of the Punisher in so many different iterations, whether it's, the Thomas Janet version or, Dolph Lundgren. And, now we're seeing, you know, the Netflix version. I'm almost feeling like we're almost, since there's been so many iterations, that I don't know if the public wants to see another version of it. You know what I mean? Like, how many times can we get, you know, beat over the head with the origin story and then a one or two part, you know, sequel? I don't think people want to see that anymore, but I think people just want to go straight into the game.
Oh, by the way, I know we're going to wrap it up very soon. I have to listen to the interview and everything, but I heard, this is from IGN, I heard that the developer of the game A Way Out, we played that a couple days ago, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That game was almost a Microsoft exclusive for Xbox One. I don't know the reason why it didn't happen. I'm going to listen to it hopefully after the recording of this. It could be money, or maybe they just wanted the game to be in multiple consoles instead of just one. I mean, who knows? But yeah, money could be. I think money makes sense.
Real interesting way of marketing that game, because they don't have the requirement for you to buy two copies to play co-op. All you need is one, right? And I'm curious, just curious how much that affects actual sales numbers, right? Or was that from the beginning, right? It wasn't a requirement, you know, because it's not a, I don't even know if you would consider it a AAA title.
No, it's not. It's an indie game. It's small. It's not in retail or anything like that. So, but I think that was smart.
It's different. It changes it up. You're not requiring or forcing a sale on someone to enjoy co-op. Co-op is an amazing experience in and of itself. And for them to say, hey, only one person needs to bite the bullet, or help split it between two people. You know what I mean?
I think it's dope. I think
it's a great concept.
And that's the thing, when it's like a smaller developer that are actually doing that in games, they love taking risk. A major publisher like EA, they were okay with it. That's surprising to me, man. You know, a lot of the bigger companies will not do that at all, man. They want multiple copies to sell more, you know? So that was cool. I mean, do you think that's a game changer and we'll see maybe more games in the future to do that or no?
I don't think so, honestly.
Hard to say. I guess, like I said, we'll have to see how big of a hit this is.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Gamertag Radio episode 752. Thank you for listening and also watching the stream. You're live on Twitch. Make sure to go to twitch.tv/gamertagradio. Hopefully we'll be around, because, you know, we talked about Mixer for I don't know how long today. But yeah, and Paris was wearing the hat. But yeah, find us. Another places, you could go to GamertagRadio.com or AudioBoom.com. Search for Gamertag Radio there. Or you could listen to the other podcast directories like Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other places. Just make sure to subscribe, follow us, post a review. It will help us out big time. Share with your friends and all that good stuff, man. Anything else you guys want to say?
No, I think that's about it for this episode.
Cool. It was good. All right. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.